tricky idea. That so say we say like this. I'm just gonna pick up from what you said. We're up to. Achbira inyan api mashach kasa for Rav Chaim Vitalza b'sharah kedusha beit chaim sharnun. The idea is this. Now, if you remember, just to remind us, is last time we basically listed like a whole string of different questions, basically about the concepts of a tzaddik and a rasha and a beinoni. Okay, if you want to chazal the questions, you can like read through the first chunk of the parak, and they're all there. And he pointed out a yesod, which he hasn't really explained. It's going to be the concept that's going to be talked about for many of the upcoming parakim. But an idea that there are three madrigos of people. It was based on the Gemara Brachas that we learned last week. It's Tzaddik, a Rasha, and a Beinoni. And the way he described what those things were that a... So we described the idea that a Tzaddik has to be someone who doesn't have any aveiros at all. The Rosh was a person who has any degree of aveiros, okay? As he described, the person did even a small aveiro or a lack of a mitzvah's essay and hasn't yet done tshuva for that. So there's some kind of like a taint, you know, some wrong that was there. So those seem to be two very like extreme things. So what was a beinoni? A beinoni can't mean a 50-50. You know, he has a 50 aveiros he did today, 50 mitzvahs he did today. Even though he pointed out that benogei, it's like a din on a person, like what's coming up on Rosh Hashanah. So those things, you know, Hashem does judge based on the Ramah very clearly, based on what the robe of the person's actions were. But that's not really defining, as he called it, the etzem, the inherent, actual, real meaning of the status of a tzaddik, a rasha, or a beinoni. So rather, the idea was, as he explained, that the tzaddik is someone who, it's their yetzer tov shoftan, okay? Which means that everything that they do, ain lo yetzahara ki harago b'tainis, the person doesn't have a yetzahara at all, because they just wiped out, they killed that tainis. And he quotes a pasuk to that effect. And because you can have a person who has many, many more zechuyos than the avonos, but is not called a tzaddik yet, because he still has a yetzahara with inside of him, that even though he might beat it every single time, that's not yet a tzaddik. And he quotes a Gemara in Yuma called the Medrash, but it's a Gemara in Yuma, the Flamin Ches, the Ra Kodesh Baruch Hu b'tzaddikim shehem mu'atim. Hashem saw that the tzaddikim are very, very few. Amud u'shasalim b'chol dor v'dor. And he, when he arranged history, he planted tzaddikim in each generation. The raya that he's trying to bring from that Gemara, of course, is the idea that we look around the world and we would say that, like in every generation, you have a lot of people who seem to be pretty good. If you look at a tzaddik or a rasha on the way, the way we look at it, generally speaking, on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, that the tzaddik is the person, right, that when you're written in the Sifran Shal Tzaddikim, it sounds like that means a person who has the majority of zechuyos and mitzvos, right? And again, not that we want to diminish our intensity during the Yom HaNoraim, but there are probably a lot of people out there who overall, if you look at their past year, right, they might not be perfect, but if you were to say, did they do more good things versus more bad things, it's not crazy that like you have people who do more good things than do bad, you know, things that if you look at the list of aveiros in the Torah versus the list of mitzvos that are there in the Torah, we do a lot of the mitzvos. We don't do that many of the aveiros, that exist. We might do certain things, we might even do them often, but there's like 365 aveiros that, like, probably a lot of them, I don't know, probably 300 of them we probably don't really do on a regular, I mean, I would just make them a number. It might even be way higher, maybe 350 we don't do on a regular basis, and like that. So what do you mean that there were tzaddikim or mu'atim? So the idea is because the real madrega of a tzaddik is something that that really is very, very rare, and that's what we're going to talk about now. Okay? I wanted to give that as a hakdama just to understand the next the next line. Achbira, and the idea is what the Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Shara Kedusha, the Yetz Chaim, the Kol Ish Yisrael Echad Tzaddik Echad Rasha Yesh Shtei Neshamas. And every single person in Klal Yisrael, every single Jew, whether he's a tzaddik or a rasha, has two neshamos inside of himself. Dichsev is based on a pasuk in Yeshaya. I'm a peg nunzai. Neshamos Aniyasisi. I made their neshamos. Now, again, the raya that we're bringing is one way of looking at the pasuk might have been the word neshamos is a reference to like all the neshamos in the world. I make the neshamos. So that the Balatani is bringing this is so from Chaim Vital, but that's not what the pasuk means. What Chaim Vital says, but neshamos aniyasisi means that every single person has neshamos. Every single person has more than one neshama inside of him. And shehen shtei nefashos. And that, they're broken down into two different nefashos. Nefesh achas mitzad aklipa v'sitra achra. There's one nefesh that comes from, I'm going to just translate the words and we'll try to explain a little, that comes from something called the klipa, the shell, and the sitra achra. That's a pretty self-explanatory term. The other side, which is the bad guys. And that neshama is what's enclosed and runs and moves the guf of the person, and that's filled in his dam, the very blood that keeps him going. Like it says in the pasuk, nefesh habasar badam, he, the nefesh of all flesh is found in its dam. So if this nefesh, okay, that the person has that comes from this thing called the klipa and the sitra achra is what governs the guf, and the main part of the guf is the is the dam. So this neshama affects, like we said, the physical part, the dam of the person. Again, we're just reading quickly, then we'll go back and explain. Menabos, kolamidos rose, me'arab yisodos romishaba, and all the different bad midos that a person has stem from that part of the person's nefesh, this nefesh that's enclosed in the guf and the dam of the Adam that keeps the guf going, that comes from this thing called a klipa. Okay, and that, like we said, is the source of all of the bad midos that the person has that come from the different four, quote-unquote, bad yesodos. Again, we'll explain that term also in a second. The hainu kas, gaiva, which come from yesod ha'ish, Nigva l'mayva, that yisod always is elevated up. Taivos atanugim yisod hamayim, a person who has taivos for different enjoyments and pleasures in the world, that comes from the yisod of mayim. Ki hamayim atzmichim coming like tainug, mayim gives birth to and sprouts and develops all different kinds of tainug, just like mayim can sprout up different things in the earth. So the yisod hamayim in a person is the thing that gives birth and life to all the different pushes he has for different taivos. Hololus, leitonus, v'hisparus, when a person fools around and jokes around and is a little haughty, of breaks those and or other dvarim b'talim that he speaks about, those of yisod haruach, those come from the yisod haruach. Atzlus, v'atzlus, yisod af, when a person is lazy or sad, that comes from the yisod of afra, the four yisodos that exist. I'm going to read one more. Let's read everything actually, and then we'll read the end of the paragraph, then we'll go back and explain and make it easier. Gamidos atova shebetevo kol yisod betoldasa. The good midos that a person has, that every single Jew has betoldasa in a natural state by virtue of the fact that they're born as a Jew. Famous thing, rachmanos, gomlei chasadim, the fact that they're merciful, that they like to do chesed. Those are also bos mimena. They also come from that part of the person's neshama, this thing that comes from the klipa and the sitra achra. Ki b'Yisrael nefesh zu, the klipa, he made klipas noga. So here the Baal HaTanya introduces a term that is relevant to explaining the beginning part of this whole discussion. When in a Jew, this nefesh that comes from the thing called a klipa derives from a source called the klipas noga. Okay, I will explain the term soon. Sheyesh b'gam kein tov. That klipas noga has a good side to it too. Vihimi sod eitzadas tovara, and that's part of the secret of the concept of the eitzadas tovara. Again, I'm reading, and then we're going to go back and translate. Mashein kein nafshos umas ha'ovde gelidim, as opposed to the nefesh of a non-Jew. Hey mishar klipos tameos shein behem tov klal. Those people's neshamas, the non-Jews, come from the expression. The other klipos that are all timeos, that don't have any good side to them at all. Everything's putting a gemara in Bava at the end of the first perek. That all good things that a goy does, the garmayu avdin, they do for their own reasons. They don't even do good things in the right way. Kadisa b'gemara. Like the Gemara says, there in Bava Basra, on the pasuk of Bechesed Uvim Chatas, all Chesed that the nations do is also a sin. She called Tzedakah Bechesed was of the Gulim Osim Einam Ela Vesiyahir. This is any time that they do Chesed or Tzedakah, it's just to be haughty and to put other people down and look good themselves, as opposed to doing things for the pure righteous purpose of helping, etc. The other person. Now, there's a mouthful. So let's explain. The concept of two nefashos that he began with, okay, which is again quoting from a source in Reb Chaim Vital. So that general idea is something that he's going to describe like as a mamish over the next number of program. Right now we're just introducing a concept, how to understand the insides of a person. We start off with first is speaking about a term, he didn't use the words yet, but it's going to come up later on. Something that's going to be that he's going to call a nefesh bahamis, the animalistic nefesh that's there, which really is just a more coarse or gross way of saying what I'm going to call like the basic nefesh, a thing that nefesh bahamis that any living thing has, goyim have, animals might have, Jews also have. This part of us that there's a we're going to call it sada shavah between us and anything that's else, anything else that's out there in the world. So if you notice, when you walk down the street, in the States or wherever it is, and you see goyim, and they seem to look like us, and they basically, they got legs, they got arms, they say things, they go to work, they have jobs, they have feelings, they have emotions, they can do good things, they can do bad things. In a lot of ways, there seems to be like a real similarity between us and them. And as we know, as many of the Umas HaOlam, who don't have all the right, chur shkafos, might even look and say that the other animals that are pretty much, the same. They can walk around and they eat and they have, families, and you can have schools of, they also have a school, they have schools of fish and schools of this and that. And many, many things that that are similar. You can train animals to do certain things the same way you can sometimes unsuccessfully train people to behave in different ways. And when we look at the world of all the living things, there's, a lot that's there in common. So what he describes over here now is as follows. I'm going to just go back and point out some of the expressions now that you read, the whole spiel right now. Again, you got the translation, right? So now we can, explain a little further. And that means like this. So the first nefesh he described is mitzad haklipa v'sitra achra hiya mislabeshes bedam ha'adam. There's a certain part of our nefesh, mislabeshes bedam ha'adam, that exists in our blood, a nefesh habaser badam hi, which basically means, like I was just trying to explain, the basic idea that we're alive and that we function and we live, we move, we do things, which is coming from our guf, right? The dam that flows through our veins that keeps us alive and keeps us going. Nefesh abasar badam hi. So that's the residing place of this nefesh habahamis that exists inside of the person. Now I'm going to jump a little forward and a little backwards, at the same time. That's why I wanted to read all of the words here. He talked about that nefesh coming from the tzad of the klipa and sitra achra. Yeah, that sounds pretty like ominous, like a bad thing. And but he also used an expression towards the end of the parak that in a Jew, that nefesh habahamis, that nefesh comes from something that we call the klipas noga, as opposed to the umas ha'odom, who also have that same, or something very similar, almost the same kind of a soul, the same kind of a nefesh, but they come from what he called the shar klipos atumeis. They come from the other things. So let's talk about that idea a little bit. So what's explained in the Eitz Chaim is based on a pasuk in Navi also, or a reading of a pasuk, that everything that's there in the world. So we know there's a famous pasuk in in Devarim that lo alechem levado yichya adam ki kol motzei fi Hashem yichya adam, that people don't live on bread and food alone, but rather on the motzei fi Hashem, the words that come out of Hashem's mouth. That's what keep us going. So there's a well-known teaching that's discussed over here from the Arizal. You probably heard this, you know, and maybe out of context, but you probably heard the idea before that everything that exists in the world has a nitzotz, a certain spark is the translation, but an element, a part of it that has kedusha to it. There's something that's kadosh, that's something that's very real, inside those things. But the mashal that's given in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, in the different Sifrei Kabbalah, in the Kisvei Ari, is a mashal of a fruit with a peel, or fruit with a shell. The fruit inside, okay, the good things, right, that are there, what you want to get to, what you want to eat, to what you want to enjoy, okay, so those are enclosed, right, or covered over by various levels of, when it comes to food, by various levels of protection, okay? You can have a shell, you can have a peel, if you look at all different kinds of fruits and nuts, they have different, every fruit has its own, like, system of how it works. So you can have things, these are all relevant, so I just want to make sure we got the ideas. So you can have, let's just say for argument's sake, it's something like an apple, which has a peel, but the peel on the apple is very, very thin. Correct? Yeah? You got what I'm saying? You have a peel of an orange, that is, the peel itself is very, very thick, right? That's the herb. Some kind of things have multiple levels of peels to them, right? If you look at a nut, if you ever saw a nut grow before, so nuts grow in a mini nut. Not all of them, but many, many of the nuts grow in like a big, thick, green like case that you have to like break open. And in there you have the nut, which the nut is then in the shell that you see like when you buy like a peanut like in the store. But if you look at a peanut tree or a walnut tree, they don't look like that on the tree. Other things that are covering, that you have to break through to get further down. So there are multiple levels in the world of fruits, and that's multiple levels of klipot, of shells or peels that can be there on top of the thing. And the mashal and the nimshal, okay, is that although everything in the and just jumping for a second, totally not what we're talking about here, but just to, you know, to highlight, to illustrate the mashal a little bit more, that the different, you know, Sfarim actually speak about where in the system of the olamas that Hashem created, the world that Hashem created, we're in the spiritual places, where the different kinds of fruits like come from. Apples mean one thing, oranges are something else, and so on and so forth. And there are big, you know, tzaddikim who understand and know what the real effects of different kinds of foods are based on what their source in the ruchnius worlds all are coming from. And those things are represented by the styles and the way that they grow out there in nature. The nimshal that we're speaking about was the same way that the fruits have that system of something edible inside, but all the peels and covers on the outside. So the same thing is true when it comes to anything else that's out there in the world. Everything has somewhere inside of it a part that has kedusha, but everything has that part of kedusha is totally covered up. Okay, initially it's in theory meant to be a protection, but totally covered up by other kinds of forces. And there are four klipos that exist on top of every, we're going to speak of people, but it's true for everything that's out there in the world. Three of those levels of what we call klipos are totally, totally bayah. Okay, waste, refuse that you're not going to eat, you're not going to do anything with, you can't even cover them with chocolate and then like try to sell it to somebody and convince him that, you know, it's like a chocolate covered orange peel or something like that, and try and convince the guy that it's like good to eat an orange peel. There's so to speak nothing you can do with them. Okay, there's some things that are just mamish, waste product, so less bad that you're going to, you know, chuck, that have no redeeming value to them, other than the fact that on some level they're there as a protection for a certain, you know, darga of kedusha to them. Those are three out of the four klipos that are there. The further and further away you get from the fruit that's inside, from the good thing that's inside, the more, again, I'm just using as a mushroom, the more thick, the more coarse, and the more useless the peel, the klipa, actually is. Okay, and the closer you get, going, inwards, so the, the better that klipa would be. The three of them, bottom line is, come from a source of tumah. One of them, that's the one that's the closest to the actual fruit that's inside, okay, comes from a, with a term that's used in the, it's again, the word is based on a pasuk, but the term is explained by the Mekubalim more. I mean, it's called a klipas noga. The word noga literally means... that's nogeo. A noga means to shine. The idea is that particular klipa, because of its inner position, okay, in the world of, again, of the person or the world of whatever thing it is that exists in the world, borders on, it's like the last, like, innermost peel, innermost klipa that's there, that borders on the good, on the kedusha that's inside. And because of that, he used an expression before, that's he may yesod eitz hadas tov v'ra. The phrase eitz hadas tov v'ra, so we know that Rashi and Chumash points out that the phrase das means a lashon of chibur. Right? When I know something, it means I've attached myself to that thing. I've become one with that. So there's an idea, a concept that's foreign to me that I might be, learning about. Pick any concept that you learned this past week, in learning, that a week ago you didn't know, and now you've discovered something. So that now became part of me, right? I have that inside me. Hopefully it's going to stay there and not, like, run away in one ear and out the other. Hopefully it'll, like, stick around. So I was mitchaber, I've attached myself to that piece of knowledge, right? Because it was something that was external, foreign to me, that became part of me. That's the word das, right? Rashi translates, we use the word knowledge, but that idea means that I can take a concept, right, and bring it into my life, bring it into me, and I know that, right? So the phrase, even in English, the idea behind the word is, now that I know something, I now actually, again, have the foreign idea that's in me and part of me. So therefore, Rashi explains, right, Al-Pi the Chazal, that the phrase das means a chibur between two different things. Okay, the place that Rashi says that on is the pasuk in Bereishis, but Yeda Adam as Chava Ishto, Adam knew his wife Chava, which means that they had bia with each other. So Rashi explains that because it's the same exact word, the chibur that exists between the two people. V'hoyu lebasar echad. So that's the not just a borrowed term to, like, try and say bia in a nice clean expression, but that explains the exact correct usage of the word. Anytime that there's a real fundamental chibur and, total meshing and total synthesis between two things, so there is a, like we said, a level of the concept of das that's involved. Eitz hadas tov v'ra means that there was something that Adam HaRishon had that caused tov and ra to be combined with each other and attached to each other and stuck with each other. This thing that we call klipas noga, okay, that exists inside of every person, okay? That was the incorrect phrase. This thing called a klipas noga is the level out of the four klipos that exist in the world where there actually is what we're going to call the redeeming factor. There is something good that exists, but it's not really good. It's good that's mixed into bad, but it's also not really bad because it's bad that's mixed into something that's okay. So now, again, I'm just explaining everything sort of out of order over here. What the Baal HaTanya points out is that Reb Chaim Vital explains to us that there's a very, very, very extreme fundamental difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Right? And a non-Jew, the nefesh habahamis, this nefesh that exists, that keeps you alive, just like anything else out there in the world is alive, okay, originates in the what he calls the shar klipos, and the other three klipos that are tumeos. In other words, okay, there is nothing kadosh about that, right? There's nothing that's good about that. It is, right? That they're alive, right? But that basic core existence is something that stems from something that's totally, totally, absolutely tummy. A Jew, on the other hand, and that's why he was quoting the Gemara's in the end of the first paragraph there on Baba Basra, that says that a goy is not really capable of even just doing a true altruistic chesed or a maaseh tzedakah, because they don't have that inside of them. A Jew also has a nefesh of Bahamas, a basic nefesh that keeps his life going. Okay? Nefesh abasar bedamhi, right? We also have blood flowing through our veins and keeping us alive like any other creature in the world that does. But the chiddush of what a Jew has, aside from we're going to talk about in Perek Beis, this is not just on the base, and this is the quote unquote not important part of the person, even though this is very significant. But the chiddush of what a Jew has is that even on the level of the nefesh habahamis that exists inside the person, that comes from this thing called a klipas noga. It's not kedusha, it's not good, but it's. We'll call it confused. It's the, you come back to the Mati Berger term, it's both. It has a bit of good, it has a bit of be'er, a tov, a ra, that's inside. Now, what we explained was, as we read through, is that what we find then is that because the Jew's base level neshama, or correct terms of a nefesh, but the Jew's base level neshama comes from this thing called the klipas noga, right? Hashem took that part and stuck it into the Jew. That's why he explains that in the world of our midos, right, what motivates us to do different kinds of things, different traits, like basic human traits, you know, that a person has, the Jew is able to use those traits in directions of good and directions of bayad, as opposed to the goy who, because he doesn't have even that klipas noga inside of himself, even things that look to be nice things, but beneath the surface and underlying all of that is something that's just always going to be bad. Again, later on, not now, but later on, we're going to start discussing, you know, concept of who are the, or what is a chassidi or masa olam, you know, etc. What happens when a goy wants to be magayir? What changes undergo in a person, and how, you know, how can, if there are exceptions to that rule? But the baseline, right, like if you want to call it like in black and white terms. And the norm is that, like we said, the good things, right, the good actions, the good deeds that might get done, still are going to be stemming from this concept of tumah, the klipos of tumah that exists. Which means, one more time, if you look at and analyze what motivated that and why did that happen, right? So you'll be able to find something that. The foundation, like beneath everything of that particular act, was something that really wasn't so great. So you can have a guy who gives like $1 billion, a philanthropist, and you know, to some, you know, very, very special organization, that's like pretty cool. Like that's like very, very nice what the person did. Again, I'm giving you a very babyish example, but even if the guy didn't totally understand this and know this, like, because it wasn't a conscious thought, but somewhere in a subconscious there might be, for example, feelings of the things that actually really happen, people like fame and fortune, and I like getting my name on something, right? So those are where the tzedakah and the chesed the person did become very, very cheap. And you might have given $1 million, but if it's just because you want your name on a building and people just think you're a good guy, that has nothing to do with being nice. That has to do with a really evil and gross, you know, sense of hoardiness. If somewhere beneath, you know, the act that you did, the motivation was, I want to get, one up that guy. I want to get revenge. You know, I'm going to beat him, like, in something, because I don't like that guy. So he gave, you know, a 30-story building, and then I'm going to give a, you know, 80-story, you know, skyscraper, like that, because I want to make something, you know, even better. You know, I don't put my name on it, but I wanted to, you know, to be the best at something. Not because it's the right or wrong thing, but because I want to be the best, you know, and have, you know, the other guy not be on top of me. Okay, so that, again, we understand that takes away, that detracts from the quality of what the person did, and that's the kinds of the things stem from all the klipas had tameos, that don't have the good parts, that are there inside of him. If I do something because I'm scared of somebody else, if I do something because I want to pay back, you know, in a different direction, like those aren't motivated by real, true, good kinds of midos. And that's why the Chazal used the expression, according to the pasuk, chesed l'umim chatas. Even the chesed that the umas olam do has some degree of chatas in there, or some degree of chet that's there, because it's not going to be stemming from the total Hashem Shamayim right things. The Jew, okay, on the other hand, because his nefesh of Bahamas stems from the Klipas Noga, which has, again, has a shine, right? That's what he's expressing before, a shine of the Kedusha, a shine of divinity that's there, being the closest part, right, that's covering up and protecting that you know, divinity that's inside and the Kedusha that's inside. So that can go in different directions, right? And as you pointed out, all of the midos, whether they're good things or bad things, stem from this tension that exists in that neshama or nefesh that comes from that klipas noga. So give an example. Again, so you learned this last year, so you know this, or you just learned this on Sunday, nefesh achayim, that the Chazal speak about four yesodos, the four basic elements that exist in creation, right? Eish, ruach, mayim, and then afar, and those are the things that everything in the world is made up of, but they also move us to do the things that we do, right? So the same way that the person is comprised, it's actually machlokas in Mefarshim, I had to read the pasuk, but I'm going to keep things, you know, very, very simple right now without explaining any about a machlokas, but on the same way we know on a base level, there's more than this, but on a base level, the person was the afar min hadamah, and then the person was the neshama that Hashem breathed into the person. We also know that Hashem was megabel. The Chazal used in one place an expression, Hashem mixed the offer together with some water to make the guy. So when a person has it inside of himself, all of these different yesodos that are there, all these different elements that are there, they, as physical things, okay, move us in different ways. So as he explains, if a Jew exhibits a bad midah, right, gaiva or kas, right? So that's the part of him that's aish, right? That's going to be flaring up and, you know, getting him incensed and overly excited about something. When the person is running after a taiva, that's the mayim part of the person that's giving birth to that particular taiva. Again, in case we didn't get the picture, let me spell it out, but to use a lishanakia, one of the outcomes of one of the most common taivas that exist that people chase after is a liquid substance that's here. So the taivas of Tanuge Olam has a stem from Yesod of Mayim. And when the person, you know, says, you know, makes fun of somebody else and that, okay, he's using his ruach part in a bad way. And Atzlus, the things that make him heavy and either totally lazy or just make him sad and he feels like really like down, as the expression goes, that's the upper part being pronounced. Right, but on the so all those are well-known bad midos, and anyone in the world can do any one of those, you know, kinds of things. Right, a goy can do that. An animal, in theory, could do a lot of those things. You know, also the chiddush of the Jew, okay, is that on this level of the nefesh Bahamas, because it stems from this place called the klipas noga, is that the midos tovos that exist inside of a person also are going to come from there, and those are actually fairly, I'm using a careful expression, fairly good, meaning there's a chance, because there's a tovira that's mixed in, right, that some of these yesodos could be used for actual good things, you know, that are there also. So as he explains, if a Jew has inside himself the Chazal say, basic midah, they're Baishanim, they're Rachmanim, they're Gomli Chasadim, okay? So those things come from the basic, we're going to call like the, you know, the DNA that the person has inside of him. But those good midos that he has have an actual good quality to them, because the klipa, that's the source of this animalistic baseline, you know, live neshama that exists inside the Jew, has its good parts, you know, to it also, that enable us to have things that are actually objectively, truly, you know, truly good. There's a lot of discussion in different thinkers why, when you look at that line, just point out as a ha'ara, since and you're all smart guys who are looking with a careful eye here. So when it speaks about the good midos that are there, but toldosam, kamav rachmanas, v'gomei chasadim, so for some reason the Baal HaTanya leaves out the expression by shanim, right? The Gemara speaks about by shanim, gomei chasadim, and rachmanas, by shanim, gomei chasadim. He speaks of two of them and not the third. And just because of the nature of what we're going to be learning now, we're not going to be so ma'ain into that, but just notice that that's an interesting little omission that we're going to make an assumption is there for a reason. So then, we're just trying to look over and make sure we covered all the basics of what we just spoke about right now, which I think we did. And again, so the idea is going to be that before we get to all the topics that are going to be discussed in Perek Beis, we have to recognize that there actually is inside of the person, whereas there's a certain commonality that exists between a Jew and everybody else. Again, we're going to see that there are really, really big differences in terms of the second part of the person's nefesh. But even on the thing that seems to be similar, okay, so I'm alive and they're alive, I do this and they do that, like that, there's also a very, very big fundamental difference that's there between the two of them. And this idea of being part of a person as the result of the klipas at Timaeus, as a person being a person that comes from this place that's called a klipas noga, is a very, very significant thing by itself. And of course, that's going to be a big part in why a Jew has an ability to climb to certain heights in the world that a non-Jew is never going to be able to to do. Okay, I think once again we're going to call it over here. That's a little bit about the end of Perek Aleph. To be continued.